Happy Easter morning. We have the inspiration of Easter and our own consciousness to take us now to the point where the world left off. They were given a message by Jesus Christ, and it seemed to them that a man was standing before them. Those who followed him believed in him, but they did not know what they believed in. Hardly anyone on earth knew what Jesus was about. After his passing into a higher dimension, the world wondered, what did he come for? Who was he? What are we to do now? And some were even glad that he was gone. When he later spoke to John and gave him the revelation, which John called the revelation of Saint John, no one received it. It wasn't shown to the world until the year 90, 92 or 3, the end of the first century. In other words, over half a century passed before John even presented the revelation to the early Roman church. They, of course, listened, looked, but they scoffed. They even thought that John was a bit touched, that he was a pretender, that what he had written was simply a trick, because there were many sects at that time, and this was considered to be the work of another sect, a rival. Even a language was strange, symbolic, symbolistic, so forth. They looked at it all. They decided that John wasn't John. Why did he wait so long before presenting? They decided he was a fraud, a forger. And besides, what did he say in the revelation? Absolutely nothing that they could understand. And so the early Roman church rejected John's revelation. They rejected him for 300 years, until the year 397. Then they reversed themselves and accepted the revelation, admitting it into the Bible as holy canon. For 1,000 years, the revelation rotted in the Bible. Finally, about the 16th or 17th century, scholars began to translate it. Till then, most people didn't even own a Bible. It was about the 17th century. Nobody knew that Christ had communicated with John what he had said. They saw only gibberish, meaningless visions. The world was not ready. It continued to live in darkness, the same darkness that veiled the truth long before Jesus came into the world. But now, a few Bibles began to appear. The printing press had been invented 2 centuries before. People started reading the Word. By the 18th century, metaphysical interpretations began to appear. But the truth remained underground, because truth is too revolutionary, too upsetting, and far too astounding, even now. Fortunately, John left us another legacy, which was not in the revelation. In his gospel before Revelation, he said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of all men." I hope that phrase remains in your consciousness for a long time. Until you begin to realize the truth that Christ's life is the invisible, ever presenting its perfection in every man. Because for 2,000 years, we have lost that light. We have not understood it. We have not obeyed it. We have lived without it. But the light is still you. It will always be you. And everything that it is, you are. That light is infinite, perfect, eternal. And when you can trace yourself back to who you are, you will discover that you are the light of Christ, the light we have lost, the light that we must now find. John the Baptist came to bear witness of that light. He came to reveal that there was an inconquerable light in man. We can compare it to a coffee bean. You run a cup of water over it, and you adulterate the coffee. But you can get a cup of coffee. So with the light of life, if you put a veil of flesh over it, You adulterate the life. You walk around as a human being, unaware of the light within, the wholeness within, the perfection within. And because you live without the light of your own true being, and you live with others who are blind to it, you are said to see through a glass, darkly. I think the laser light is another example. It's a concentrated beam of light that works on your body. And it does things that a normal light cannot do. Yet, as powerful as the laser is, compared to the light of your own Christhood, it's nothing. But it is an approach to the concentrated reality of the original light. Nothing can remove or change that light. But men live in a time where they're absorbed in their own work, completely unaware that the light which goes all through the universe and which is also at the center of their being is Christ. They are not aware of it. Now you are becoming aware of this Christ. You are aware of the great light, the great secret of life. That is the light of all men. It is everywhere. So vast, so powerful. And yet we cannot see it. It is thousands of decibels above our vision. But it is here, and it is us, and when we are able to make contact with that light, like a central broadcasting station, it feeds the outer network, and one program sends out 9,000 across the country. One central and infinite, omnipotent light is what we are operating on. And we are not aware of it. We are not making contact with it. We are stumbling in the dark. I don't care who you are, when you are not aware of the light, you are walking in darkness. The sun may be shining, but the darkness is your unawareness of the source of life. And while it perpetuates itself, constantly maintains itself, we see things through the glass darkly of human vision. They wonder, how did God create this and that and the other thing? Those things that don't work. And we are looking through the eyes of imagination. All that God made is perfect. Nothing that is imperfect was made. God is not the creator of imperfection. But we are looking at the illusion of our own mind. You've made this journey through the illusion of your mind. You've come far. But now you have to get out of the illusion. Out of the illusions of the mind. And be born of the Word, which in the beginning was the light of all men, and which still is. We are going to look at the first chapter of John. Just the first. We want to get a feeling of how John became aware of this light. How John was able to communicate it in his gospel. And still not be understood. So all this amounts to is a reminder of what we have failed to do. And every time we go through another day unaware that Christ is the light of all men and that Christ is the life of God. It's very clear that the individual who can accept that and can step out of the pack and live in the secret place, being welded back into his own reality, that individual can change the world. Now, Jesus changed the world, but what he changed was something that he planted in the consciousness of men. Into invisible reality that emerged into visible actuality. Which was the reason, of course, for the revelation of St. John. It will further liberate mankind, but now it is abundantly clear as we look at these words in their simplicity. We have not seen them before. In the beginning was the Word. And that Word we must call Christ. In the beginning was Christ. Yes, before Abraham was, I am. He himself stated that. And the word Christ was with God. And the word was God. So we are establishing now that Christ has been in the beginning, which means before the beginning. Mankind had to have a beginning, so it had one. And there was no beginning, God is not a beginning. Christ is always. If you remember, Isaiah had indicated that Christ, the light of God, was seven times brighter than the sun. His meaning was to inform you that Christ will be attained by us in the seventh realm. We are now going through the seven realms. Four realms have almost passed. We're now in the fourth. And we have three more realms to go. So when you know the mind realm is the fourth, you start figuring that there are three higher realms. The soul realm, the spirit realm, and the Christ realm. Which is eternal life. This follows Isaiah's prediction. Because then you're a finished product. He also said that in your seventh level, you would be transparent to Christ. And the 12 qualities of Christ, or the fullness of the light of God. The 12 disciples then represent the 12 levels of pure truth that you will realize when you are in the Christ level. In that seventh level, you have 12 precious stones. Or perfect knowledge. And that corresponds with the 12 disciples. But they still didn't know what he was saying. So they had to have John the Baptist come down to say, "This is the one. Follow him." Because he is the light. And that is what is meant by the straight and narrow. You can only follow the light of God. So at the beginning of the first century, it was shown by John the Baptist that this is the Christ of God. Was also shown by John what the Christ was. Christ was the whole light. And Jesus, being a representative of Christ, was the light on earth. He was the one on earth who had attained the Christ. So although Jesus and Christ are the same, Jesus only appears on earth. And Christ is infinite. Jesus exists up to crucifixion. His name then becomes Christ, to show that this is the Christ who had delivered to us the message of Christ as Jesus. So we have John the Baptist coming to bear witness, who points at what appears to be a man, looks exactly as other men, and says, "Follow me." Now, where will you follow the Christ, who will walk off the earth. And how will you follow the Christ walking off the earth? How do you follow the light? There's only one way. You must be the light. So you see, a major transformation is in the making. Each one of us will be transformed. How? When? No one really knows. But prepare for it. Know it is coming. Each one of us at a different time. When we think not, the bridegroom cometh. And this is something that we cannot see. We cannot avoid it either. Nor do we wish to avoid it. We can put it on hold, and we're making a mistake. It must be worked at. It happens when it happens. But the transformation only happens when you are ready for it. You're not going to the next level while you are imperfect. I can assure you that. You've got to be perfect to go to the next level. And there's a reason for that. They do not adulterate things in heaven. Because we have ideas about heaven, all fairy tales, I might add. Heaven is going to be your level, your consciousness, which is perfect. That is all heaven will be. But that allness is everything. You're going to live, to go into a higher state of consciousness. And when you are ready, when you have been pronounced fit, pure, perfect, you will slide easily out of this consciousness into the higher consciousness. And this is telling you how you are going to do it, how you are going to get ready for it. Now we know why it is called straight and narrow. Whoever does not receive the light has no exit from the consciousness of earth. The only exit he's got is out, down, and then up. In other words, death and reincarnation. Whereas our true exit is vertical, a new higher consciousness. And although it's exciting and almost fantastic, it is equally simple when we get used to the idea that we are states of consciousness being made ready for the transformation, the transition to Christ, the transition to Christ consciousness. And when you are aware of the light of Christ, that is Christ consciousness. Now, let's be careful about one point. John is trying to leave us a legacy that we can follow, which is so self-explicit that we do not teeter off the edge and wander back into human consciousness. But keep on the straight and narrow truth, up, up, and up in consciousness, by assimilating the light that we are and blotting out the light that we are not. The false light of humanhood, having a sort of transfusion of light. And as we mount the ladder of consciousness, slowly becoming the light that we already are, we are fed by the light. Our bodies change. Our thoughts change. The things we see and hear change. And this is the slow, graduated consciousness which takes us up to a level which can look out on a different world. This is how the vision changes. The hearing changes. Everything about us changes. And we become what we thought we were, but we change to the divine image and likeness. When we are the image and likeness of God, we see with God's eyes, we hear with God's ears, and we find there are no eyes, no ears in this consciousness. We see without eyes, and we hear without ears, because life is not reduced to just this and that. Everything you have is infinite. One infinite awareness. Now let's be cautious. Let's proceed with the introduction of John. In him was life. In the beginning was God. In him was life. And the life was the light of all men. You must be Christ now. You don't look it. You don't speak like it. Perhaps you don't feel like it. But you are Christ now. You're not a different Christ than he is. Nor is he a different Christ than you are. Because there's one Christ. Just as we breathe air, we all breathe the same air, one body of air. But many breathe it. One spiritual body of Christ. And all spiritual bodies are it. Now, when you get on this ship of Christ, you're on the right ship. Otherwise, it sinks. Is that clear? There is one infinite ship of light, invisible, and you get on that ship. How do you know you're on it? Well, that's what the whole Bible is about. It gives you instructions on how to get on the ship of Christ. You do this, you do that, you do the other thing. It's all about your purity Your willingness to take orders, your willingness to lay down your life and pick it up again, which is the transformation to Christ. Everything that is in the Bible by way of instructions is for the sole purpose of preparing you to be acceptable, to be stepping on the ship of Christ. You see, now that this pure, total being, which is all being, cannot accept an illusion. You cannot walk into the Christ as an illusion. You've got to overcome the illusion first. That's one of the required responsibilities we all share. The other is that as an illusion, you've got a mind to think, to function with. And you've got to see, you've got to judge. And all of that makes you a state of division. Well, in a state of division, you cannot come into the light. Because there is one steady beam of perfection. And so high or low, mighty or lowly, you've got to come to a place where you can make the concession. You give up your opinion, your thoughts. All you can do is stand in the light and accept or reject. As you accept it, you become less mortal. As you reject it, you become more mortal. We also have the capacity to know when we are in the light. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. Don't do this, do that. Go the extra mile. Don't pretend. Don't wear a false face to show that you've done some good tonight. Be forthright. When you steal from your neighbor, whether it's legal or not, you steal from Christ. So who do you fool? Except yourself. Because the light knows itself. We become a transparency to the light. And all of our stupidities, our follies, our mistakes, totally forgotten. You cannot walk in the light with any imperfection. And that's why it has taken what appears to be a long, long time. The imperfections have to come out. Only perfection is possible in the light. It's automatic. Even an airplane. Now, they don't let you walk on it if you have metal in your pockets. If they find metal, they stop you at the gate. If we see all these precautions on the human scene, think of the precautions on the divine scene. Perfection is required. And protection to prevent adulteration of the light. So entrance is impossible when you are not willing. Even your mind is an open book. They've got to know that you are not only in the light, that you are totally turned toward the light, and you are not conditioned to be otherwise. You are not going to get a heart attack in heaven. You are not going to wake up and suddenly find something missing. All the imperfections of a person are weaned out of you. So when Paul says, put on the garment of immortality, he is informing you that your mortality must go. Because mortality is a state of imperfection. Even the best mortal is imperfect. He doesn't have 20/20 vision when he grows older. He may have a hearing aid. He wears whatever one of those things are called that give you an extra beat for your heart. Mortality never enters heaven. Mortality cannot be the light. As it becomes clearer that there is a reason for these things, then you are willing to accept them. As a mortal being, you are not admitted to heaven. You are not admissible to the higher realms, because the higher realms require perfection. You can't survive in a higher realm without perfection. So ever so reluctantly, you finally yield. You say, well, I like what I have, and I'd like to protect it, but it's going to be taken from me anyway. I'm smart, but I'm not omnipresent. Not as a mortal. As a mortal, I'm stuck in this chair, in this alley, in this street. I'm stuck wherever I am. I'm just a little sample of the bigger things to come. And we're not particularly proud of our human achievements, because these human things become as nothing, as dust. We can be proud to an extent that we're happy to have made a contribution. But in the final analysis, there is nothing of this world that remains when you have made your transformation. When each individual has completed the transformation to the light, civilization will not be the same. It will not be there. What remains of it will be that which we see, either shambles or in another expression. And men will be completely unaware of the universality of reality, which we occupy as we leave the human scene. One woman said, I can't quite remember it, but I'll try. She said, what happens if I die while I am still imperfect? Well, you'll come back I told her, and someday you'll
be perfect, and you'll go into a higher consciousness. And that's all there is to it.